Have you ever thought about breaking into Fort Knox? I'm not looking for a show of hands here, but just asking a rhetorical question. You might have a rude awakening waiting for you if you decide that you're going to try that. First, you're going to have four fences that you have to climb. And two of them, by the way, are electric. Don't try to blast your way in, because the walls are solid granite, 4 feet thick, reinforced by steel. If you do manage to get past the guards and find your way in and work your way through that maze of locked corridors, and if you do finally get to the vault, you're going to have a hard time opening that up. No one who works there knows the entire combination. Apparently, each one knows a part of it. So you're going to have to gather all the people who work there to get it open. And if you do make your escape, be sure to watch out for the 30,000 soldiers in the base outside. No wonder Fort Knox has earned a reputation for being one of the most secure, impenetrable locations in the entire world. Wouldn't it be nice to feel that safe and secure when life gets tough? In moments of distress, when it feels like you're being attacked from every side, in times of crisis, wouldn't it be great to have a place where you can retreat and find a refuge? I'm not talking about the little problems of life, like when it rains on the day of the harvest and herb festival, but I'm talking about the really big things, things that are so enormous, so overwhelming that you don't know if you're going to be able to make it through. Wouldn't it be nice to have our own Fort Knox? And no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in the world, you know that within those walls, you're safe. If only there was such a place. Well, Scripture tells us that there is. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our rock. He is our stronghold. He is our fortress and our deliverer. Whatever you might be struggling with today, God is greater than He is with you. This morning, as we open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, King Hezekiah experienced that firsthand in his own life. The mighty Assyrian army was marching towards Jerusalem to invade. During this period of history, Assyria was the most powerful empire in the world. No one could stand up to them. Nation after nation fell at the might of their military. The northern tribes of Israel had already been obliterated. The walls of Jerusalem were thick, but they weren't thick enough because the Assyrians were coming and it wasn't looking good. King Hezekiah mustered every soldier that he could, but he knew they weren't going to be enough. But he didn't panic. He didn't surrender. He didn't raise the white flag and give up. He trusted God to deliver his people. If the Lord is our fortress and our refuge and our stronghold, then we can trust Him to deliver us in times of crisis. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We've been doing a study of the life of Hezekiah, and this morning we see what happened when times of trouble came and how he responded. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1. It says, after these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and besieged the fortified cities and thought to break into them for himself. Now when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to make war on Jerusalem, he decided with his officers and his warriors to cut off the supply of water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. So many of the people assembled and stopped up all the springs in the stream which flowed through the region, asking, why should the kings of Assyria come and find abundant water? And he took courage, and he rebuilt all the wall that had been broken down, and he erected towers on it, and built another outside wall, and strengthened the Millo in the city of David. And he made weapons and shields in great number. He appointed military officers over the people, and gathered them to him in the square at the city gate. And he spoke encouragingly to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horde that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. With him is only an arm of flesh, But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people relied on the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It's interesting that, verse 1 tells us that, these things took place after acts of faithfulness. After all that, Hezekiah had, so faithfully done. You know, we've been looking at these chapters over the past several weeks, and we saw what kind of king Hezekiah was. He was a godly king. He was a reformer. He cleansed the land of idols and brought the people back to worship the Lord. And so if he was such a godly king, such a, man of God, so close with the Lord, everything should have been easy from there, right? Smooth sailing for the rest of his days as king? No, it doesn't work that way. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God's people will be exempt from the struggles of life. Quite the opposite. The Bible tells us that we can expect trials to come. But it also promises that we won't have to face them alone. One author comments, "The fact surprises and puzzles many, for it is always difficult for us to accept the fact that godliness is sometimes followed by grief, and revival is sometimes followed by reproach, and divine blessings are sometimes followed by devilish battles. We simply prefer to believe that if we've been good, we will always experience reward and not trouble. But that's not the case. While we may be surprised that really bad times can follow great dedication to the Lord, we must not cast away our confidence in God. He has not forsaken his own. When God allows his people to endure trials, it is not to destroy them, but to strengthen their faith." Hezekiah's faith needed strengthening. The land of Judah was invaded. The major cities had already fallen. Reinforcements were not coming. Archaeologists have actually uncovered a plaque or a prism that comes from this area of history. It's called Sennacherib's prism. And the Assyrian king talks about this campaign that he led into Judah, and he brags about how he captured 46 cities from King Hezekiah. And he says, "I pinned him in like a bird in a cage." Tough times were coming. Hezekiah needed faith. God is our refuge. He's our fortress. And so we can look to him for strength. That's what the king did in this passage. Yes, he prepared for battle. He made weapons and shields. He repaired the weak points in the wall. He assembled the army. It would have been irresponsible for the king to do nothing in times of war. But he also realized none of it was enough unless God was with them. Real strength does not come from chariots or bows. It doesn't come from walls made out of stone. Real strength comes from above. And so the king gathered his people and he encouraged them. He gave them more than a pep talk or a passionate speech. Look at his words in verse 7. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horde that is with him, for the one with us is greater than the one with him." He wasn't downplaying the seriousness of the situation. It was serious. Everyone knew how mighty the Assyrian army was. It was only the most powerful army in the world, and this juggernaut was headed right for them. But he wanted his people to know that God is greater than the enemy. So don't panic. Don't let your heart melt in despair. The situation isn't hopeless. It's never hopeless because God is with us. It's not that they themselves were greater than the enemy. They weren't. If all they had to rely on was their own resources, they were doomed. They were toast as that army came close to the city. But the one with them was greater than the one with the Assyrians. That's all that mattered. Look at verse 8. "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." The Lord doesn't leave his people alone. He's always watching. He's always there. He's always ready to come to our aid. He's the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. And he's on our side, standing with us. He's our fortress. He's our shield. And so why should we be afraid? Just picture a little boy stepping up and talking to the biggest bully in the class. You know, the biggest kid in whatever grade he's in. And this kid is a bully. And so the little boy comes and he says, "Want to arm wrestle?" And the bully is thinking, yeah, he's grinning. You know, he's ready to just pound this kid into the ground. You know, yeah, I'll arm wrestle you. And the little boy steps aside, and his big brother is standing behind him, and his big brother's on the football team. He lifts weights, you know, and his biceps are like this big. You know, he's like, all right, let's arm wrestle, little kid. The bully's like, no, wait, I want to arm wrestle you. The boy says, no, I didn't say me. I said, do you want to arm wrestle? I meant with my brother here. Many of the struggles we face are too much for us to handle. The good news is we don't have to face them alone. God is with us, and he's greater than any adversary. Instead of trying to fight your battles by yourself, look above. Find strength in God, and you won't be disappointed. I'm not diminishing the seriousness of the challenges that we face. I certainly don't mean to suggest that our circumstances are no big deal. We face daunting struggles in our lives. But it's important that we remember the one with us is greater. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than family problems. He's greater than troubles at work. And so don't try to deal with those things by yourself. Look to the Lord and find strength. If God is our fortress and our stronghold, then we should ignore the lies of the enemy. We have an adversary called the devil, and he will whisper all kinds of lies into our ear to try to discourage us, especially in times of difficulty. But don't listen to him. King Hezekiah's enemy was named Sennacherib, who was a very powerful king. And while his forces were mopping up in a town of Lachish, 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem, he sent messengers to the city of Jerusalem to taunt the people. And as we continue reading in verse 9, it says this. After this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem. While he was besieging Lachish with all his forces with him against Hezekiah, king of Judah, and against all Judah who were at Jerusalem, saying, thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, on what are you trusting, that you are remaining in Jerusalem under siege? Is not Hezekiah misleading you to give yourselves over to die by hunger and by thirst, saying the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and altars and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before one altar, and on it you shall burn incense? Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the lands? Were the gods of the nations of the lands able to deliver their land from my hand? Who was there among all the gods of these nations, which my fathers utterly destroyed, who could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you like this. Do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? His servants spoke further against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to insult the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of the lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. They called out with a loud voice in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten and terrify them so they might take the city. They spoke of the God of Jerusalem as the gods of the peoples of the earth, the work of men's hands. Sennacherib's men stood outside the city walls. They taunted the people. Not only did they insult Hezekiah, but they mocked the Lord in which Hezekiah believed. It was psychological warfare. The Assyrians were trying to demoralize the warriors of Jerusalem so they would abandon their posts and give up, so they would come out and lay down their weapons and surrender. That's a strategy that's been used even in modern times. In World War I, World War II, Allied forces would at times fly over enemy territory and drop leaflets to the soldiers below. And the leaflets would say things like, you know, your leaders aren't telling you the truth about the war. It's not going so well for you. If you surrender, we will treat you well. Lay down your weapons and come out so that this conflict can end. Those kinds of messages. And just picture being, you know, in the front lines, World War I, World War II, You're scared. Bombs have been dropped all around you. You don't want to fight anymore. And here comes this leaflet falling from the sky that says, surrender. You know, lay down your weapons. That would have been a tempting offer. Well, that's exactly what Sennacherib was hoping to achieve. It was propaganda. Now, don't you realize how hopeless your situation is? You can't win. You're not going to survive. So lay down your weapons, come out, and we will give you a better life. We will resettle you on a land that's good and give you vineyards and houses and make your lives easy. Don't die with Hezekiah. Come out and live. The theme is repeated again and again through the message here. The Assyrians say, your God cannot deliver you. Your God will not save you. Your God is no better than the gods of the other nations that have already fallen. But you know what? It was a lie. Our enemy will also try to break our spirit in the midst of our struggles so that we'll give up. He wants us to give into despair, to become so discouraged that we won't even bother to put up a fight. If he can take our attention away from the Lord so that we focus on our problems, then we'll be weak and ill-equipped for the battle. If he can trip us up by getting us to focus on the negative, it makes his job a lot easier. He points to our weaknesses and our inadequacy. He tells us how huge our problems are, how desperate things will be. He gets us to question God's ability. He tells us the Lord has abandoned us and doesn't care. He says all of this and more, but don't believe a word of it. In the New Testament, the devil is called the father of lies and the great deceiver, and he can be very convincing. But the best way to guard against his deception is to dwell on the truth of God's word. One author writes, battles are won and lost depending on the attitude of the soldiers as much as the artillery. Confidence is vital if one is going to war successfully. Shake the confidence of your opponent and you have greatly weakened him. Satan strikes the same way. Once confidence in God and his word is destroyed, a person will suffer spiritual defeat to sin. Lack of confidence in the word of God will stop spiritual victory in the individual's life. When fear starts to creep in, when doubts start to take hold, remember the promises of God. God tells you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. When we dwell on God's truth, it's amazing how quickly those doubts and those fears begin to fade, and a spirit of confidence comes over us. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the voice of our King. If God is our refuge, if he's our stronghold and our fortress, then we need to pray in our time of need. Look at verse 20 in our passage. It says, but King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. We're going to spend more time next week on the subject of prayer. Elsewhere in the book of Isaiah and in the book of 2 Kings, we read the contents of Hezekiah's prayer and the prophecy that God gave to Isaiah. But for this morning, I just want to make a few initial comments about how important prayer is in the believer's life. When there's nothing else that we can do, we can always pray. There's nothing King Hezekiah could do here. There were soldiers outside, enemy soldiers outside the city. There were messengers of Sennacherib taunting him. He couldn't do anything, but he could pray. And you know what? That was the best possible thing that he could do. Prayer shouldn't be our last resort. It should be our first impulse. As soon as troubles come, lift up your voice to heaven. When anxiety takes hold, pray. When you can't see a way through and you don't know the way forward, cry out to the Father. If nothing else, prayer calms our hearts and reminds us who's in control. Prayer centers our focus on where it needs to be, on the Lord. We go before the Lord with these heavy burdens that are too much for us to carry on our own. And as we cast those anxieties on Him, we feel the weight lifting from our shoulder. Parents want their children to always come to them with their problems. When they're scared, when something's wrong, when they're in trouble, parents want their kids to know, you can always come and talk to me. You know, it would be so frustrating and discouraging if a child was wrestling with these things by themselves and not sharing their struggle, and their parent, you know, says, hey, come on, just talk to me. I want to help you. I'm here to listen. And God feels the same way. He invites us to come. He's here to help us. He wants to listen. Cry out to heaven because God cares. He's waiting for us to draw closer to Him. He wants to release His strength in the moment that we need it most. God works through the prayers of His people. We don't always realize how vital prayer is. We think, well, God already has a plan, so what's the point of praying? And God says, yes, I do have a plan, and part of my plan is that you would come and pray, and then I will work. So pray. Prayer is calling out to God, the God of the universe, and trusting Him to work in mighty ways. Finally, if God is our refuge, if He's our stronghold, our fortress, then we should expect, one way or another, He's going to bring the victory. Verse 21. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. When he had entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with a sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. Without even picking up a sword, without even drawing a bow, without even stepping foot onto the field of battle, the war was over just like that. That very night, while the enemy soldiers were sleeping, God sent an angel and struck down that enemy. The Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, verse 22 tells us. It wasn't the strength of their walls. It wasn't the number of soldiers in his army. It wasn't his skill with a sword. It wasn't even his strategy. Victory was from God. Sometimes we forget that the Lord is just as mighty and just as faithful and just as involved in the lives of his people today as he ever was. The same God who delivered Hezekiah and the people of Judah is with us. He's fighting in our battles. He's giving us strength to persevere. He's lifting us up when we need him. And sometimes God works in miraculous ways. He displays his power supernaturally, like he does here. Maybe a person has been praying for an answer and, you know, wrestling with some disease, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, wow, I can't explain it. I don't know what happened, but the disease is gone. You say, I know what happened. You know, God. Other times, the Lord works in ordinary ways to accomplish his purpose. Maybe the person prays for healing, and the healing doesn't come, but what God does do is give strength and perseverance. And when the person feels like quitting, God lifts them up and uses that person to be a testimony to others. Either way, God's glory is displayed in both situations. However he chooses to reveal himself in our struggles, he promises that he'll stand beside us and he'll carry us through. So when people ask, where is your God in this struggle? We can answer, he's right beside me. He's giving me strength. He's revealing his love. He's giving peace. I can't make it through without him. I'm so fortunate to have God by my side. Some of you know my cousin, Regina, who's been battling a very awful disease called lupus. We've been praying for her in our prayer list for a long time. And she recently moved to Arizona. The climate is better for her lungs. And I just want to share a little bit of a post that she put on Facebook this week. And she's one of the people that has gone through more adversity in her life than most people that you ever meet. And yet she has one of the most joyful, positive spirits that you'll ever see. She writes, hello, family and friends. Sorry. Since this past week has been a struggle, but God always has a way of showing His grace, even in our tough times. My prosthesis has been giving out on me and not locking at the knee. Last week it gave out and I fell hard on my hip on the side of my amputation. I just sat on the ground crying as my husband held me in his arms. I am bruised and I have a lot of swelling, so I can't wear my prosthesis very much until it heals. I was so upset because I can't get up and walk and get out very much, and I thought, this is a huge setback. I started having these negative thoughts about how much we've been through the past few years. As I was praying to God to help us trust in Him and stay positive, a song that my mom used to play came on the radio. It's called Keep on the Sunny Side. It definitely helped me to realize that we need to look at the sunny side and everything will be okay. I'm so thankful, making it through the times that the doctor said I wouldn't make it. God has definitely showed His miracles to us and continues to bless us. Praying and believing. So many positives to be thankful for. We live and miss all of you so much. I hope you will listen to that song. It definitely will brighten your day. Love you all. God bless. God is our refuge, and we can trust Him. When big and threatening problems come, when we're tempted to melt with fear and become overwhelmed with despair, we need to remember, with Him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. I don't know what battles you might be facing today, but I know that God is greater, and He is with you. The Lord Jesus came from heaven to earth for you. He endured the cross for you. He rose from the dead and conquered the grave for you. And He's not going to leave you alone now. Don't despair. Look above for strength. Ignore the lies of the enemy. Call out to God in prayer and expect He will lead you in victory. When we live with that kind of faith, the kind of faith that Hezekiah demonstrated in this passage, the kind of faith that my cousin has shown these last few years, we will not only find ourselves drawing closer to God and finding the strength that we need, but God will use us to inspire others so that they too will be able to face the battles that they're in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a great and a powerful God. Lord, we know that You're with us no matter what. And sometimes we forget that. And sometimes we lose sight of that. And sometimes we listen to the enemy's lies. And we start to worry and we start to doubt. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on You. We thank You that You went through all of the things that You went through to save us from our sin. Enduring the cross. Being buried in the ground and rising from the dead. And we know that You're not going to abandon us now. We're too precious to You. You're always with us, and You care. And so, Lord, whatever each one might be facing today, I pray that You would strengthen their hearts and give them confidence in You. Lord, we thank You that one way or another, You will always give us the victory. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.